بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، when one goes to speak on the life of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, really there is no man who has been born besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who can really do justice to the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And that is a reality. There has been no scribe, no writer who can depict the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There has been no speaker who can address and articulate the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is no over-exaggeration. That there is no man who has been born besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who could depict the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who could depict the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this was a task which was even too arduous for the greatest of angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Upon occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, he said, "O Jibreel, what do you say about Umar in the heavens?" And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, "O Messenger of Allah, if I was to spend the same time that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam spent amongst his people, which was 950 years, extolling the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab, I would still not be able to do justice to the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu." And then he said regarding Umar, he said, "Huwa hasanatun min hasanati Abi Bakr," for he is one good out of all compared to all the goods of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That he is only one good out of all the goods of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And therefore, to really understand Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you have to put him in a certain context, in a context where he belongs, and that is amongst the Sahaba Ridwanullah Jama'in. And then you can really understand Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into the hearts of all of humanity, and he looked and he saw that my heart was the best, and he made me his prophet. And then he looked into the hearts of the rest of humanity, and he saw that the Sahaba radhwanullahi ajma'in's hearts were the best, and he made them my aides and my companions. And therefore, these people were not normal people. They were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, "Do not swear at my Sahaba, do not curse my Sahaba, for if one of you was to spend the equivalent of the mountain of Uhud," and another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you were to spend the equivalent to the mountain of Uhud on a daily basis, you would not be able to reach a mud." A mud is a small measurement amongst the Arabs. That what they spent, that you spent the equivalent of the mountain of Uhud on a daily basis, and my Sahaba spent a mud, you will not be able to reach their status. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not swear at my Sahaba, for one moment of their life is better than the actions of your entire life." And therefore, you must understand Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in a certain context. And out of all the Sahaba radhwanullahi ajma'in, the best of the Sahaba were those who participated in the Battle of Badr. Regarding them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'malu ma shi'tum lakad wajibat lakumul jannah." He said, "Do whatever action that you want, Jannah is wajib upon you." And upon occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, in your eyes, who is the best of the Sahaba?" And he said, "Alladhina shahidu badran." He said, "Those who participated in the Battle of Badr." And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Likewise in the skies, the best of the angels are those who participated with the Sahaba on the day of Badr." So out of all the Sahaba, the best are those who participated in the Battle of Badr. And then out of all the ones who participated in the Battle of Badr, the best are those 10 who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed Jannah. He guaranteed Jannah. There were 10 who he guaranteed Jannah, and they were the Khulafa'i Rashidun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. And besides them, it was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Talha ibn Ubaydullah, Sa'id ibn Zayd, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet said an amazing narration. Upon occasion, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, Aisha, shall I not give you glad tidings? She said, indeed, O Messenger of Allah. He said, the glad tiding is that your father Abu Bakr will be in Jannah, and his companion in Jannah, his companion in Jannah will be Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Umar ibn Khattab will be in Jannah, and his companion will be Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And Uthman will be in Jannah, and Uthman's companion will be myself. And the Prophet ﷺ was expounding on the narration where the Prophet ﷺ said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ رَفِيقٌ وَرَفِيقِ يَعْنِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ Uthman. That every prophet has a companion, and my companion in Jannah will be Uthman ibn Affan. And then he said, Ali will be in Jannah, and Ali's companion will be Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas will be in Jannah, and Sa'd's companion will be Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abdul Rahman will be in Jannah, and Abdul Rahman's companion will be Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Talha ibn Ubaydullah will be in Jannah, and Talha's companion will be Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sa'id ibn Zayd will be in Jannah, and his companion will be Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abu Ubaidah Al-Jarrah will be in Jannah, and his companion will be Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, and Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu will be in Jannah, and his companion will be Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. That these people were the 10 who were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Jannah their companions will be the prophets. And then out of the 10, the best were the 4 who became the Khulafa'i Rashidun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. And the Prophet said that a person in whose heart their love has gathered, he is a true mu'min. A person in whose heart their love has gathered, if a man has love for all 4 of them, he is a true mu'min. And out of these 4, the best were Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Regarding who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, khayru ahli sama wa khayru ahli al-ard. خَيْرُ مَنْ بَقِيَ وَخَيْرُ مَنْ مَضَى إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا النَّبِيِّينَ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ He said that they are the best of the people of the heavens and the best of the people of the earth. They are the best from those who have passed and the best of those who will come. And the only people who are better than them are the prophets. And out of these 2, Umar was a حَسَنَةٌ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ أَبِي بَكْرِ. It was only 1 good compared to the many goods of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And how, the question comes to mind, how did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu attain this status? See, the way Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu attained this status was for his love, his affection, and his ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his association with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, on a daily basis, we see people who associate themselves with other people, and they are respected on the basis of association. You see people who are respected because their father's the chaudhry, their father's the MP or the councillor, and they're not judged on their own merit, but they are judged on the basis of their association. They are judged on their father. And how often you see the same amongst youngsters, they feel important. Why? Because they are associated to the local gangster, or they know the local drug dealer, and as a consequence, because they have made these people their role models, they feel important. You see this on a daily basis. But understand that all these associations are dunyawi associations. All these associations are only limited to this dunya, for if blood had any value, then Abu Lahab would have gone to Jannah. If blood had any value, then Abu Talib, who sacrificed everything for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as he was alive, no mushrik could lift his eye at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's destined for Jahannam. Why? Because he left this dunya without iman. So the only association which is valued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the association of iman. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, out of the 7 people who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, when there will be no shade besides the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Rajulani Tahabba Fillah. That 2 men
who loved for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wajtama alayhi wa tafarraqa alayhi, that they gathered for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they sat, they drank, they talked for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they departed companies, they also departed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These two people on the day of judgment will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is that history has seen billions of associations. And when we speak about association, what comes to mind? You know, what are the famous associations? I'll tell you what comes to your and my mind. The Leila Majnoons, the Romeos and the Juliets, because these are famous associations within history. But today, let me tell you about an association in which a man loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than any Majnoon loved his Layla, more than any Romeo loved his Juliet, more than any man loved his wife, more than any wife loved her husband, more than any mother loved her child, more than any child loved his mother. And this was the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And wallahi, this is no exaggeration. You will not find a mother in history how Abu Bakr radiallahu, who had the same love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did this love do for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? In return, the most closest and the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Aisha radiallahu anha was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Upon occasion, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved person to you?" And he said, "Aisha." And then he said, "After Aisha, who is the most beloved person to you?" And he said, "Her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." And shall I tell you what this love did for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? For Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will be the first person from this ummah to enter into Jannah. And not only will he be the first person to enter into Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the Jannatis will go into Jannah, there will be certain doors, and those doors will call out to these people, and there will be a door of salah, and those who prayed profusely, the door of salah will say, "Come through me." And those who prayed profusely will go through the door of salah. And then there will be another door, which will be the door of sadaqah. And it will call the people of sadaqah, and the people of sadaqah will enter from it. And then there will be another door, a door of jihad, those who died doing jihad, and it will call them, and they will enter through that door. And then there will be another door for those who fasted, and this door is called Rayyan, and the people who fasted would enter from it. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting there, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, will there be any person that all the doors of Jannah will call?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, Abu Bakr, wa arju an takuna minhum," and I am optimistic that you will be amongst those who these doors will call. And in another narration related by Ibn Hibban, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, Abu Bakr, wa anta huwa," you will be that person that all the doors of Jannah will call on the day of judgment. All the doors of Jannah will call Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the day of judgment. This is what the love and the association of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for him. That it made him the greatest person after the Anbiya alayhim salatu salam to walk this earth. No man besides the Anbiya were better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because of his love and his association with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was born 2 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He embraced Islam at the age of 38. He belonged to the tribe of Quraysh and the clan of Bani Taym. And his genealogy, his ancestry, meets up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam six fathers up, it meets with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name, according to some narrations, was Abdul Kaaba, because when he was born, his parents gave him over to the idols of the Kaaba. And when he embraced Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named him Abdullah. He's better known as Abu Bakr, and the reason for that I'll mention later. And he's also known as Siddiq, which I'll mention later. And also another name he was given was Al-Atiq, the freed one. And the reason that he was known as Al-Atiq was that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wants to see a man who has been freed from the fire of Jahannam, فَلْيَنْزُرْ إِلَىٰ هَذَا, then he should look at Abu Bakr. He wants to see a man who Allah will not throw into the fire of Jahannam, then he should look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is why he was known as Al-Atiq. And in other narrations, that these were his names on this dunya, As for in the heavens, he was known as Al-Halim. Although some scholars have criticized the chain of transmission, but the narration is this, that upon occasion Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam descended to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walked past, and Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam said, "O Messenger of Allah, that is Abu Bakr." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "O Jibra'il, do you know Abu Bakr in the heavens?" And he said, "Indeed, for Abu Bakr in the heavens is more famous than he is on the dunya." And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, "He is more famous in Jannah and in the heavens than he is on the earth. And his name in Jannah is Al-Halim, the forbearing." Al-Halim, the forbearing. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had four wives. Qutayla, from Qutayla he had two children, Asma and Abdullah. Asma radiallahu anha was the wife of Zubair ibn al-Awam, one of the 10 who was guaranteed Jannah. She was the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, the 7th Khalif of this Ummah, and Urwat ibn Zubair. Asma was one of the bravest and the best women that this world has ever seen. And that is no exaggeration. And his son was Abdullah. And then he had another wife whose name was Umar Uman. And from Umar Uman he had Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdul Rahman. And Aisha radiallahu anha needs no introduction, for she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest faqih woman, the greatest woman scholar that this ummah has ever seen. And Abdul Rahman was the son, and he embraced Islam at a later stage. And then he was married to another woman who was known as Asma bint Umays. And Asma bint Umays was originally married to a Sahabi radiallahu anhu called Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the narration mentioned that there was no Sahabi who looked more like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam than Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib went to Abyssinia, and when he came back, this was the day of Khaybar. They had been victorious at Khaybar. And when Ja'far radiallahu anhu came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam jumped up and he kissed him on his forehead and he said, "I don't know what gives me more happiness, the victory at Khaybar or you coming here." And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was the Sahabi who went on the battle of Mauta, and he had the flag in his hand and one arm was cut off, and then he grabbed it with his other arm and the other arm was cut off, and then he had the flag between both arms until he was martyred. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I saw Ja'far flying with the angels in Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had replaced his arms with wings." This was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and when he was martyred, then she married Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And his final wife was Umm Habiba, and from her he had Kulthum radiallahu anha. And from Asma bint Umays, he had Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, who was also a very famous Sahabi. So four wives, from these four wives he had six children. From these wives, four wives, he has six children, and literally all of them are very, very well-known Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. And Aisha radiyallahu anha describes her father. You know, when you visualize Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, you think a man who stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through thick and thin, he would be a mighty man. He would be a man who would be full of muscles. Let me describe Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu to you. Aisha radiyallahu anha mentioned that my father was very light in complexion and he was thin. He was so thin that his trousers would not remain around his waist. And he was so thin that his cheekbones were protruding and his eyes had sunk in. And he was so thin that you could see the bones upon his fingers. And he had a profound stoop. He had a bent back. And the narration mentioned that he had plenty of hair upon his body. And Umar radiallahu anhu, on the contrary, had very little hair. And upon occasion, a group of people, they came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they said, "Oh Umar, tell us who's better, that man who has a lot of hair on his body or that man who has very little hair upon his body?" And Umar radiallahu anhu understood that these people want to compare me with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "That man who has plenty of hair on his body is far better than that man who has very little hair upon his body." The Sahaba, look at the description of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was thin. How thin was he that his trousers would remain around his waist? When the command came that you should keep your trousers above your ankles, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's trousers would remain above his ankles, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a special dispensation that, "Abu Bakr, for you it's alright. This is how thin Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a stoop. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say that Abu Bakr was the weakest in body, but when it came to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the strongest from amongst us. He was the weakest in body, but when it came to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the strongest from amongst us. Ali radiallahu anhu, when he became the Amirul Mu'mineen, upon occasion he was speaking to some companions and he said, "Tell me who is the bravest?" And they said, "You, Amirul Mu'mineen, for you have never lost a duel." And Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Yes, when it comes to dueling, I will never lose." But the man who was the bravest from all the Sahaba was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A man whose trousers would not remain around his waist was the bravest from amongst all the Sahaba radwanullah ajma'in. He mentioned that on the battle of Badr, and this was the first battle, the Sahaba were 313 and the mushrikeen were more than 1,000, and they were equipped to their teeth, and the Sahaba had literally no weapons, and they made a shade for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "Who will protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" Because the man who will protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everybody else can run, but this man cannot run. He will not be able to leave the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everybody hesitated because this was the first battle. And they mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu jumped up and he drew his sword and he said, "I will protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Ali radiallahu anhu says that the bravest from all the Sahaba was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The thinnest, the weakest in body, but the bravest. Why? Because his body was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the difference between his body and our body. Really, his body, his every muscle, his every ounce, his every pound was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when your every muscle and every pound becomes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates you to stages that you cannot believe. Upon occasion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was climbing a tree, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu had very thin forelegs. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they saw his forelegs, they began to laugh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What's making you laugh? For I swear by Allah, if his forelegs were placed in one side of the scale, and the mountain of Uhud was placed in the other side of the scale, his forelegs would be heavier than the mountain of Uhud." Why? Because these were legs which were for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you look at our youngsters today. Really, you look at our youngsters today. You know, spend more time in the gym than they do in the masjid. Spend more time pumping iron than they do pumping iman in their hearts. Why? Because their role models are not the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Their role models are macho men which society depicts for them. Their role models are men who got big muscles, men like the Rock. You know, men like the Rock are their role models, and this is a reality. You know, I once had an unfortunate encounter of seeing the Rock. I was at my family's house and they had the TV on, and the children were glued to the TV, and there was some wrestling going on. And all of a sudden the wrestling stopped, and everybody's chanting, "Rock, Rock, Rock, Rock." And then the camera moves and you got this guy with his chest out like this. And he comes with dialogue upon dialogue. Dialogue upon dialogue. "I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to do this to you." And really it dawned upon me that this is the Western version of Mullah Jatt. For those who have seen Mullah Jatt, say Astaghfirullah. And for those who haven't, say Alhamdulillah. But this is the Western version. Really. And this is what our youngsters, how often do you see youngsters who spend more time in the gym than they spend in the masjid? Because this is priority. And look, to be strong so you can serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a good characteristic. But when you make that priority, then that is not permitted. To have a big body, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about the characteristics of the munafiqs, what does he say about them? He said, when you see their bodies, you will be amazed at their bodies. And when they speak, they're giving it a largen. And they're throwing their hand, you listen to what they say. But they are nothing but propped up pieces of wood. That's all they are. That is the only thing they are. Why? Because they're empty. They're empty of iman. They're empty of anything good within society. And therefore, generally, the macho man has a culture which comes with it. Generally, illa mashallah. Besides those who do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that culture is, you know, one who flex a bit of muscle. The hours I spent in the gym, now I want to take my aggression out on people. And generally what happens, some innocent guy who they know they can batter, they will batter. This is what generally happens. They will beat an innocent person up. And the majority of them, where do they expend their abilities? Really, where do these people expend them on their own Muslim brothers? This is what they do. You know, the Muslims are being battered black and blue all over the world. Everywhere you go, and our problems have increased since yesterday. Our problems have increased since yesterday. And all you can do is beat up other Muslims. All you can do is shoot each other. What kind of people are you? All you can do is go to this, you go to your local Muslim school. Bengalis are fighting the Pakistanis. Pakistanis are fighting the Bengalis. You go to Stratford Road. Now the Pakistanis are fighting the Somalians. And they're saying, well, where did these Somalians come from? You want the British government and the British to be tolerant over you, and you can't be tolerant over your Muslim brothers. You want the British to be good to you, and you can't accept that your Muslim brothers have come on the same road. Don't you understand that the strongest bond that me and you have is the bond of Iman? And where do the children pick this up? Because when they go home, they hear their Pakistani parents saying, oh, Bengalis are like this. And when they go to the Bengali and Gujarati parents, the Bengali and the Gujarati parents are saying, the Pakistanis and the Somalians are like this. This is where the children get it from. And this is why we're in the state that we're in. No other bond, no other. You look into the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left Abu Lahab, but he held on to Bilal. Bilal was a slave, but it was the bond of Iman, because the bond of Iman is the strongest bond that you have. On the battle of Badr, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he jumped up and he said, who is ready to fight me? And the first person who jumped up to fight against him was who? It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dragged him down. He said, Abu Bakr, sit down, for we have need for you. But this was his own son. And when Abdurrahman became a Muslim, he said, oh, my father, I saw you in the battlefield and I could have killed you, but because you were my father, I did not kill you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I swear by Allah, if I had seen you in the battlefield, I would have killed you. Why? Because this was the bond of Iman. And you look at the youngsters today, expending their abilities on their own Muslim brothers. And these are the kind of role models. You know, men who haven't worked a day in their life and drive 50,000 pound cars. Why? Because they suck the blood of innocent people. They break up homes. They sell them. They push their drugs. These are the people that our youngsters make role models. Men who don't care about anybody, that they are number one. Let me tell you what a real man is and how the Prophet ﷺ defined a real man. He said, he was speaking to the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in, and he said, who is the strongest from amongst you? And the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu said, it's him who can overpower him, and it's him who can overpower him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, that's not a real man. The real man is he who can control himself when he's angry. Because it's easier to punch out somebody's lights than forgive a person. This is a real man. And really understand, and I say this and I say it again, if you suck up to these kind of people, then there's something wrong with you. Men were real men, were the people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, small in body, but everything was for the sake of Allah, because they understood that a day would come that they would have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who never fornicated in his life. Even Jahili, who never drank in his life. What the Arabs would do, the best form of entertainment for the guests would be that they would give them alcohol to drink. This was the best form of entertainment. But in the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you would never find alcohol. And when he embraced Islam, they asked him, they said, Abu Bakr, did you ever drink alcohol in Jahiliyyah? And he said, A'udhu Billah. He said, I was a man who would look after my honor and my dignity. And a person who drinks loses his honor and dignity. Because when he's drunk, he doesn't know what he's doing. And this news reached the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaqa Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr has spoken the truth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who never prostrated to an idol throughout his life. He was born and they named him Abdul Kaaba and they gave him over to the Kaaba. But never did he prostrate to the idols. He mentioned, when I was a child, my father took me to the idols and he made me sit in front of the idols. And I sat there for a while. And I asked the idol, I said, give me something to eat. And there was no response. Then I said, after a while, give me something to drink. And there was no response. And then I picked up a rock and I threw at the idol. And the idol dropped. And then I came to the logical conclusion that if it can't look after itself, how is it going to look after me? If it can't look after itself, how is it going to look after me? And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, see, he always had this streak in him where he was looking for the haqq, where he was always looking for the truth. And this is why the narration mentioned that upon occasion he was sitting by the Kaaba and he was sitting by a very famous monotheist called Zayd ibn Amr. And he was waiting for the final prophet. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf came past and he asked Zayd, he said, Zayd, tell me, the final prophet, will he come from our tribe? Will he come from us, the Arabs, or will he come from the Israelites? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu found this very interesting. And he went to Warqat ibn Nawfal. And Warqat ibn Nawfal was a Christian who knew about the scriptures. And he asked him about this final prophet. And Warqat ibn Nawfal said, yes, a final prophet will come. And the Jews and the Christians will hide him. They will hide his real identity. And this is exactly what happened. And this is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was always waiting for the final prophet. And when he traveled to Syria and he met the Christian rahib, the Christian monk, and the Christian monk asked him, where are you from? He said, I'm from Makkah. He said, I'm from Makkah. And then he said, which tribe are you from? He said, I'm from Quraysh. And then he said, wait for the final prophet. And therefore Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was always waiting for the final prophet. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam claimed prophethood, Abu Bakr was outside Medina, he had gone on business. And when he returned, the mushrikeen came to him and they said, Abu Bakr, do you hear what your friend is saying? Your friend's gone mad. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were very close friends even before Islam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, what's he saying? And they said, he's saying that he's a prophet of Allah and he's telling us to only worship one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he hurried to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh Muhammad, what is this I hear? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what have you heard? He said, I heard that you say worship one Allah and that you are the messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have heard the truth. He said, you have heard the truth. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, you are one person that I know who will never lie. And he said, I know no man other than you who is more befitting for prophecy than you. And then he stuck out his hand and he embraced Islam on the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never did I present Islam to a person, but they waited, they hesitated, they doubted, besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No sooner had I presented the deen upon him, he embraced Islam. And really, if you study the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this is no over-exaggeration, if you study the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you will come to the conclusion that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never doubted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not for a moment. Where others hesitated, where others took a step back, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never doubted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the ascension, the Mi'raj, and when he was up there, he told Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, oh Jibreel, my qawm will not believe what I've been. And he, the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, your qawm may not believe you, but Abu Bakr will believe you. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned and he came out, one of the first people he bumped into was Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl said mockingly, he said, oh Muhammad, what's new? He said, what's new? And the Prophet ﷺ said, well, last night I went from Makkah to Bayt al-Maqdis. And Abu Jahl said, the Bayt al-Maqdis in Palestine? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And Abu Jahl placed his hands upon his head. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, he hasn't finished yet. From Bayt al-Maqdis, I went to the seventh heaven. And he said, you did all this in a portion of the night. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. And Abu Jahl said, if I gather the people of Makkah, are you ready to say this in front of them? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. And he gathered all the mushrikeen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, last night I traveled from Makkah to Bayt al-Maqdis. And they said, The one in Palestine, and the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. He said, then from there I traveled to the seventh heaven. And they said, you did this in all in the portion of last night? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. And the narration mentioned that some of them began to clap their hands. Some of them began to clap their thighs. Some of them placed their hands upon their heads. And many, and the number of those Sahaba who had newly embraced Islam and who were weak in Iman, they turned away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their mushrikeen said, let's go to Abu Bakr. Even Abu Bakr won't believe this one. And if Abu Bakr doesn't believe it, then the dawah of the Prophet ﷺ falls apart, because he is his right-hand man. And they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they said, Abu Bakr, do you hear what your companion is saying? And Abu Bakr said, what's he saying? He's saying that last night he went from Baytul Maqdis, from Makkah he went to Baytul Maqdis, and from Baytul Maqdis he went to the seventh heaven. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Awaqala dhalik? He said, did he actually say that? And they said, yes. He said, Idhan Sadaq. He said, if he said it, then he's speaking the truth. He said, if he said it, then he's speaking the truth. And what's so surprising about this? For I sit with him, and every day revelation comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and descends upon him. And if one day Allah calls him to himself, what's so surprising about this? And after this, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as As-Siddiq. It was after this occasion that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was known as Siddiq, the truthful one. After this occasion. And really, if you look into the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you will see that there was never a moment that he doubted the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 6 days after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, him and Ali radiallahu anhu were at the rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh Ali, you go in first. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, no, you go in first. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, how can I go before a man regarding who I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? That everybody doubted me on one occasion, but Abu Bakr never doubted me. Abu Bakr never doubted me. And this is the reality, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, whatever emanated from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never doubted it. Upon occasion, what happened was the Romans and the Persians, they had a battle. And because the Romans were people of the book, the Muslims supported the people of the book. And because the Persians were Zoroastrians, fire worshippers, the Mushrikeen wanted the Zoroastrians to win. And what happened is that the Zoroastrians won. And the Mushrikeen were very happy. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in this Quran, Alif Lam Mim Ghulibatir Rum Fi Adnal Ard. Now, the meaning is that Rum has been defeated in the near lands. The near lands means Palestine, Jordan, etc. They have been defeated there. But a time will come, وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَالِبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ, that soon they will also defeat their enemy. That today they have been defeated, but a time will come that the Romans will defeat the Persian. And when this was revealed, Abu Bakr, because he had so firm conviction upon the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went straight to the Kaaba, and the mushrikeen were sitting there and they were all rejoicing. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, today you are rejoicing, but a day will come that the Romans will defeat the Persians. And one of the mushrikeen who was sitting there, he said, are you ready to place a bet? And Abu Bakr said, and betting was permitted in those days. And he said, yes. And they betted on a period of 3 years on 10 camels. And when he went back to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Quran says, bid'a sinin. And that means from 3 to 9 years. So go back and increase the amount and increase the period. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went back, and when the mushrikeen saw him, they said, oh, Abu Bakr, you changed your mind, have you? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, I've not changed my mind. I've come to increase the period and increase the amount from 10 to 100 camels. And the day the Muslims won the Battle of Badr, that was the day the Romans defeated the Persian. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yawma idhin yafrahul mu'minun. That day the mu'mineen will be happy with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the day the Muslim defeated the and the defeat of the Mushrikeen at the Battle of Badr. This was the same day that the Romans defeated the Persians, and the Mu'mineen were happy, one, because they had defeated the Mushrikeen, and secondly, that the Romans had defeated the Persians. See, this was the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is iman, that your full conviction that whatever is in the Quran and the Hadith is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says that He will provide for you, when Allah says that if you trust in Him and you act upon His commands, Allah will give you nusra, this is iman. And if you are looking at this philosophy and that ideology for your success, then you will all be losers. Because this philosophy and that ideology will work for everybody else, but it will not work for me and you. Why? Because me and you are destined to be the Khalifas of Allah upon this earth. And therefore it will work for everybody else, but it can never work for me and you. And we will be losers. We will remain losers if we look somewhere else for our success. And if we look into the Quran and the Hadith and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will be successful. And the narrations mention that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after embracing Islam on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he left that gathering. He had found the haq, and nothing could stop him from propagating that haq. And on the same day, he went to all his friends and he began to call them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of the 10 who were guaranteed Jannah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was one. Out of the other 9, 5 of them embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. 5 of them. The likes of who? The likes of Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi who regarded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every ummah has a trustworthy Amin person, and the Amin of my ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. On the Battle of Uhud, the narration mentioned when the forks of the helmet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into his face, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he began to take him out with his teeth until one dropped and the second dropped, and when he would smile you could see all the teeth which had fallen out, because he was trying to take out the forks of the helmet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Battle of Uhud. The likes of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Farisul Islam, the Sahabi regarding who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Irmi ya Sa'd fidaka abi wa ummi." Oh Sa'd, shoot the arrow, may my mother and my father be sacrificed for you. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu on that day shot 1,000 arrows, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 1,000 times, "Irmi ya Sa'd fidaka abi wa ummi." Oh Sa'd, shoot the arrows, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you. And Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned that for no other Sahabi besides Sa'd did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combine between his mother and his father. For some he said, may my father be sacrificed for you. For others he said, may my mother be sacrificed for you. But for Sa'd radiallahu anhu, on the Battle of Uhud, 1,000 times the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Irmi ya Sa'd fidaka abi wa ummi." Sa'd, shoot the arrow, may my father and my mother be sacrificed for you. Who? People like Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Who was Uthman ibn Affan? He was the third Khalif. He was the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam twice over. And the Prophet, after the second daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I had 40 daughters and each one of them passed away, I would give the next to Uthman ibn Affan. He was that person from who even the angels had haya from. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and a portion of his leg was exposed, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came in, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained sitting the way he was. And then Umar radiallahu anhu came in, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained sitting the way he was. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu came in, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quickly jumped up and he straightened his cloth. And when they all left, Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Bakr came in, you didn't change your posture. Umar came in, you didn't change your posture. But when Uthman came in, you quickly jumped up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Aisha, shouldn't I have haya from the man that even the angels have haya from? Shouldn't I have the haya from that person that even the angels have haya from? Who? The likes of Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Who was Talha ibn Ubaidullah? That on the Battle of Uhud, he took so many arrows in protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his one side became paralyzed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Talha, wajibat lak. said, Ya Talha, wajibat lak. He said, Talha, today Jannah has become wajib upon you. Today Jannah has become wajib upon you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he would remember the battle of Uhud, he would cry and he would say, that day was the day of Talha, for that was the day when he attained Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who? The likes of Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, regarding who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوَارِيٌ وَإِنَّ حَوَارِيَ Zubair. That every prophet has a disciple, and my disciple is Zubair ibn al-Awwam. The right to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Who was Abdurrahman ibn Auf? He was that man that after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said that they heard a trembling in Medina, and then dust began to fly up, and then they saw 700 camels of trading caravan coming, 700 camels. And when they entered Medina, Abdurrahman ibn Auf gave everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these people embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Out of the 9 who were guaranteed Jannah, 5 embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Can you imagine on the day of judgment when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will come and all the actions of these people will be in the scale of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, oh Ali, if one person gets hidayat through you, that is better than red camels. Red camels were the Maseratis of that time. There was no commodity which was more expensive than red camels. On the day of judgment, can you imagine that these who were the pillars of Islam, all their actions will be in the scale of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the reality is that on the day of judgment, Abu Bakr will not have a scale. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first person for who the scales will be erected for on the day of judgment will be Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba, they knew the virtues of Abu Bakr, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, what about Abu Bakr? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for the likes of Abu Bakr, there are no scales. And let me tell you, if there were scales for Abu Bakr, if there were scales, then what would have happened? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوُزِنَ إِمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ بِإِمَانِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَرَجَهَ بِي. He said, if the iman of the entirety of humanity was placed in one side of the scale, and just the iman of Abu Bakr was placed in the other side of the scale, the iman of Abu Bakr would outweigh the iman of the entirety of humanity. The entirety of humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have an iota of the love that Abu Bakr had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannatul Firdaws. Subhanaka wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.